As always, I could be wrong. In a few minutes, we're going to be looking at some of Jesus' teachings on being humble. Some of it I've covered before, and other speakers have touched on it. That's fine, as I always say, it's not repetition, it's reinforcement, and it's good. It's okay. But before we get on to this, I want to talk about something else which may seem unconnected. It is connected, so just bear with me for a moment, okay? I think, as you know, I really don't like the word sermon. I don't know. I do not like that word. I don't like the word preaching. And I've often wondered what a person is actually doing when we take charge of a session on a Sunday morning. What is it we're actually trying to achieve? What's the objective? If we're not preaching a sermon, what are we doing? And are we teaching? I think sometimes we're sharing knowledge that we've acquired. We've done the research. We may have put in the years at seminary. So we are teaching. We're passing on stuff that we've learned in other situations. But the objective of the exercise, of course, is not teaching. It's learning. Am I right? The objective is that people are going to learn something through this. And very often, of course, one of the people is the person who's doing the talking. Learn stuff as they go on, and certainly learn stuff in preparation. I would recommend doing this to other people, because you do actually learn a lot in the preparation. True learning, I think, in this context, true learning also has to involve change. There has to be some kind of a change happen in the listener if true learning has taken place. One of the problems is that we have deep in our hearts a resistance both to change. We're not thinking, oh dear, I'm going to have to change again. It's not something which we like doing. And actually, we don't like being taught. Actually, Churchill, I've got the quote here. Churchill put this really well, the way, I am always eager to learn, but that does not mean that I like to be taught. That might say something about our education system, but we won't go there. Maybe for me, I think possibly the important thing is reflection. That true learning happens after reflection. There has to be this. You listen to something, or you see something, or you experience something. You reflect on what it is that you've experienced, and that is actually what creates the change. So it's reflection that results in learning. And what's all this got to do with being humble? Well, the elders have been thinking about for a while now what we call the important stuff. I made the mistake of calling it core issues, but we're calling it important stuff. What is the important stuff that we do as a community? And the teaching, the learning is one of those important bits. We, the elders, have been thinking about that quite a bit recently. And we were discussing this a while ago, and Jenny Williams said something that really turned the lights on for me. Now, Jenny, as you know, is a teacher. Jenny teaches violin. That's what she does. And she, Prophet Jenny, in the course of this conversation, Prophet Jenny said this: I can't teach anyone anything, but I can help them to learn. And boy, that rocked me. It made me think about teachers I've had over the years at school and in higher education, and the brave souls who've occasionally tried to teach me to play a musical instrument. And the best teachers have been those who've really got this idea. The best are focused, not on themselves. For some teachers, there's an ego problem. You know what I mean? That the teacher is actually more interested in demonstrating what knowledge they've got or how clever they are. But a good teacher is exactly that. A good teacher is someone who is focused on the needs of the student, totally focused on the needs of the student, and is working out how they can help them to improve, take the next step. What do they need? And provide that for them. And in other words, I reckon, the best teachers take on the role of being a servant to their students. They are focused on that. How am I helping this person? How am I benefiting this person? And a humble servant. Of course, Jesus talked a lot about being a humble servant, and we'll be coming back to that. But does anyone have any thoughts or comments on that so far? Ah, Tricia totally agrees. Good.
Yes.
Yes.
Being a humble servant does not mean putting yourself at a lower position on some hierarchy or scale.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. We'll get back to that.
Absolutely agree. And my experience, personally, professionally, to learn something, I need to take something in that shifts the way I think or feel about something.
Yes.
Which then changes my way of being, how I am and see the world, and allows me then to do something different.
Excellent. Good. Elise.
This is a little bit unrelated, but I think the other thing for me that I'm often struggling with is that if someone is in distress, then if someone's feeling distressed, they're not able to learn. And so sometimes being a teacher is actually not trying to impart knowledge, but just calm the farm and support the distress.
Yeah, I don't think that's unrelated at all. I think that's exactly what we're talking about. What does this student need? How can I help them? Yeah. Go on.
One of the things I appreciate about being here is I don't come thinking I'm going to come to teaching or preaching. It's often sharing. And that's what is most valuable, I feel, for me. It might involve some teaching. It might involve learning from my point of view, but the fellowship, the feeling of belonging, is much more important to me than who's teaching. And the teaching bit's only a tiny bit. Takes up some time, but it's the person who's leading the service, what they've put into it. It's the people who are playing the music. It's the people who we talk to beforehand and afterwards. The teaching's, for me, a very small part of what goes on here.
Yep. In the conversations we've been having, that's come up time and time again, that you know, that's what's important, is the community bit.
I'm going to come at this slightly differently. And I think, particularly as a woman, I've often undervalued particular skills that I might have that are worth passing on to others. So for me, there is this thing of valuing what I have been given from others and accumulated that then is able to facilitate that being passed on to others. So for me, teaching is about the attitude in which you're doing it, and both the teacher and the teachee. It's a give and take. And whenever I'm in a situation, I'm always learning from someone else as well as thing, but not to undervalue the skills that each of us do bring, because I think the danger is we can just think, oh, we've got nothing to offer other than just, you know, a bit of friendship. That's not true.
Yep. Mm. Good. Tricia? Then we'll move on, I think.
What's been said about teaching and learning got me reflecting on my experience as a nutritionist and diabetes educator, that all of it was about how to help the person find their way to something that would help them be better, be healthier, feel better about something. And yes, sometimes it was about dealing with the emotional blockages and the other things going on in their lives rather than directly the topic at hand.
Thanks. We're going to move on. What does the word humble actually mean in 21st century English? According to my Oxford Dictionary, it means having a low estimate of one's own importance. And I don't think that's what we're talking about. That sounds a bit unhealthy, doesn't it? Well, we're suggesting that humble is having an unrealistic estimate of one's own importance. Taking Jenny's words, I think being humble is actually when you're not thinking about yourself at all. You're focused on somebody else's needs.
What was the definition of humble that Jesus said?
I'm glad you asked that. Yeah. Jesus regularly said that his followers should be like children, servants or slaves. And the important thing to remember in that is that servants and slaves had no status or importance at all in his day. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. More than once he said this in the context of his followers arguing among themselves as to who was the greatest. And we're not going to go through all the things he said about that, but he was constantly saying, you're not to be like that. He contrasted it with worldly organisations, kings and heads of governments and said, they behave like this, they lord it over, you're not to be like that. He criticized the religious leaders of his day for seeking honor, which was a very important thing in first century Mediterranean culture, the seeking of honor. And he was saying that is completely the opposite to the way you should be behaving if you're my followers. Notice in this that he gives himself as an example of service. It's not the only time he does that. There's the washing of the feet, which of course you would all remember. But another example of Jesus talking about his own humility, we're going to look at this a couple of times. This is really interesting. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is an incredible passage, I reckon. I keep coming back to it. Yoke in this sense doesn't mean that you're yoked with two animals yoked together. A yoke is also a piece of wood which sits on your shoulders and enables you to carry a load, you know, a couple of buckets or something like that, easily. But look at that. Learn from me, for I am humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Coming back to our mental health, if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to be humble like Jesus, we're going to find rest for our souls. We will unpack that a little bit. There's two words there. Here's a bit of teaching coming. I'm actually going to talk about Greek, but don't worry, it's going to be all right. When he says humble and lowly in heart, praus is the word for humble. Don't worry about that. But it can mean gentle, considerate. I've just got these mixed up. The second word, humble, I think you're getting what he's saying. My favourite Matthean scholar, my favourite expert on Matthew, his name is John Noland, talks about the second word, lowly in heart, as meaning this. One who was free of the self-importance of those who were focused on their own interests. So you're seeing the same passage there. Going back to that passage, the words can have a variety of meanings. In ancient languages had far fewer words than we have today. And what that meant, that words often had a range of meanings, and you picked up the meaning by the context. Today we have very, very precise language with thousands and thousands and thousands of words that we can use to give a fairly precise indication of what we're talking about. But these two words, if you want to say, this is the broad range of the meanings that they have. Gentle, kind, mild, considerate, forgiving, benevolent, humane, meek, lowly, modest. They're much nicer words than humble, aren't they, in our language? Ken?
Yeah, to say, because I can't just let it go past without noticing that the ultimate form of self-interest is humility. So therefore, to be focused on your self-interest is actually to be humble. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Okay. If there are considerable advantages to being humble,
yep,
then it is in our self-interest.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If the highest form of intelligence is actually humility, as Simone Weil says, the German philosopher. Therefore, self-interest is not to disregard yourself, and therefore humility is not the opposite of self-interest. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I think we've got a serious problem in our current culture where self-interest is actually tends to be very high on the list.
It doesn't work. That's
no, absolutely. No.
Work,
yeah. No, it doesn't work. You're
the
right.
The most desperately sad people I meet in my work are those who are absolutely self-interested.
Yes, absolutely.
In
yep.
the golden handcuff sense.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Ken said the people that he meets in his work saddest or desperate, are those who have most self-interest and most focused on themselves. Rose?
I was just thinking another word that you could put up there that also goes with when you say people who are important and status as the opposite is not having expectations. And I think the current word in the vernacular is being entitled, and I think there's great expectations, and there's many books about the problem of expectations and what you think you're entitled to, and I think that could go into the mix too.
And related to that, if you don't have expectations of someone, then you're curious.
I'm thinking about a meaning of humble or humility that I've developed over the past few years, I think probably with the help from most of you people, in that it's not so much a diminishing or disregarding of self, it's appropriately placing the level of my value or my how much effort or attention I should pay to myself, which means all of the words on the screen, I think all of them, a manifestation of that rather than the definition of that.
I've just got a bit of a thought bubbling in the back of my head. If you look at humble as a behaviour, I think when the intent comes from a position of confidence, it can be empowering. But when the intent or that humble behaviour comes from a position of lack of confidence, it can be very destructive.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just chuck in one more?
Sorry, Jen.
So if Jesus put himself forward as a model and he says, come to me as your teacher because I am humble, so, I mean, there you've got both, because he's saying his humility is of a certain characteristic, set of characteristics, but he doesn't then step back from his role as teacher. So, yeah, so I think you've got encapsulated in that model the idea that humility does not mean that you have nothing to offer. So Jesus is saying, come because I have a lot to offer and I will offer it in this way.
Yeah, yeah.
Those last couple of comments just reminded me of some early reading I did from Henry Nouwen, where the gist of this is to whether when I engage with other people, I'm in a comparison point. Am I up or am I down? Or am I adult to adult? We're treating each other as genuine human beings. But if I know I grew up with a very strong sense of how I engage depended on whether I saw myself as better or worse or up or down in status with other people.
Julie?
Well, I grew up in a Christian family, but we were encouraged to put ourselves forward in some ways. But when I was in the workplace nursing and midwifery in Sydney, I found that I was getting very depressed and I had to in come back to Perth for treatment. But the thing is that I didn't know how to stand up for myself or be assertive in the workplace, because I'd just been taught to give in to others.
Okay. Something that really struck me while preparing this session, if you take the Oxford English Dictionary definition of being humble, having a low estimate of one's own importance, it's looking inward. But it seems to me that when Jesus is talking about what we're talking about this morning is looking outward. These words seem to be saying something about how a person sees others and sees themselves in the context of others and responds to others. And that reflects Jesus' teaching. That's what these are, the things that Jesus wants his followers to be. I'm just going to miss out a bit there. One word I see on social media very often these days is the word, which isn't there. Oh, yes, it is. Sorry. Is the word kindness. It's right at the top in the middle. Being kind. I often see people suggesting that we need to be kind to each other and see videos of people doing acts of kindness, not just helping other people either. I saw one the other day of a woman who decided to walk out onto a four-lane highway, stop all the traffic so a mother duck could take her little ducklings across the road. Brave as well as kind. What we're going to do from now on is actually work in tables. So you can sit around a table for the rest of this. It's just so that people can have conversations. So sort yourself out and we'll start asking a few questions which you can discuss, we can discuss around the tables. The reason we're doing this is because a psychologist, people are more likely to contribute to a discussion if they're sitting in a group, and even more so if they're sitting around a table. So that's why we're doing it like this. One member of the church, when I was doing a bit of finding out things about how people were feeling about things, said about the format that we've just had which is normally what I do, you know, at the end of what the last 20 minutes or so is just open discussion, pointed out that it's usually the same people who contribute, and I think that's true. So around a table, there's more likely to be a contribution from people who don't usually say so much. So be servants of people like that on your table. And also be prepared, if they come up with something which you think is worth sharing with the whole group, to do so afterwards. We'll have opportunities to come back all together. We're going to look at a number of questions, which are the considerable advantages of being humble. And the first one is going to be, will being humble mean that I will be more popular? Just as way of a quick introduction, I'm just going to suggest that according to the Bible, yes, it will. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Does that mean that God's going to exalt them at some time in the future? Discuss that. And also from Proverbs, pride will bring humiliation, but one who is lowly in spirit will obtain honour. Anyway, discuss. Are there any words of wisdom that particularly people want to share with the whole group? For our groups, it was... Today's rooster is tomorrow's feather duster.
We weren't sure about the word popular as to what that exactly meant, but Kevin suggested it might mean, if you substituted well-regarded,
yep,
then good. Often people who have been humble are well-regarded, but that's not the point of being humble.
Ken?
You know how a statue is... To make a statue, you just remove the bits that aren't the person that you're making. I think yeah. that actually as God creates us and we are in Christ and we are of Christ, we will resemble Christ, so the bits that aren't of Christ get removed.
Yep.
Is that okay? And therefore, if Christ is humble, then the bits that aren't humble will be chipped away.
Yep.
It's not that we will find a new technique to gain some sort of popularity contest. It's that the bits that aren't of Christ will be chipped away, maybe.
Okay. We'll move on to the next question for you to discuss. Will being more humble mean I will have more money? I'm not suggesting that if we are humble, God's going to reward us by giving us money. I'm wondering whether being humbler will make a difference to the decisions we make about how we spend our money. And will it change our motives for wanting to make certain purchases? Jesus didn't talk a lot about money. Here's two things he did say. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. And also, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now the question was, will being more humble mean I will have more money? Will being more humble change the way I spend my money, is the question. Go to it. Any thoughts that people want to share with the whole group? I may have not made myself completely clear. What I was thinking was, well, for example, I think testosterone can be a problem. When I was a young man, I would buy things because I was hoping it would impress other people. Now I don't tend to do that. It is that sort of thing I was thinking about. If would being humble mean that I would be less likely to do impulse buying or less likely to buy stuff because I hope that other people would admire me because I owned it. Any thoughts?
I think we did think around this table that being humble might make you less money because you would see other people's need more than your own and give it away.
Yep, good, good. Maybe I should have said use money more wisely, I'm not sure. Good. I'm going to shoot forward a bit. Yes, definitely do this one. Will being humble mean that I enjoy better health? I'm particularly talking about mental health here. Is true humility, the kind of humility that Jesus talks about, is that a healthy place to be mentally? You have about 5 minutes. Time's up. Any thoughts people want to share with the whole group?
The question was, is it being humble better for your mental health?
Yes.
I believe is the question. And the answer was, it depends.
Oh, right, yep.
Because of the context, because if you exist within a context which is not accepting of humble as a way of being in the corporate culture, which is aggressive or etc. Being humble within that context, you are going to be constantly buffeted by messages that are counter to being humble. But if you exist within a context where being humbled is valued, then obviously you would end up with a much different outcome. I think that was generally the feeling from our table, is, yeah, it just depends.
That's an interesting one. If someone in the sort of culture you're talking about, somebody who is humble is going to stand out, are they or not? They're just going to get bulldozed?
Yeah, I would say it depends. In some cultures, they would be aggressively bulldozed. In some cultures, they would be ignored or devalued. Yeah, it depends on the corporate culture. I'm thinking particularly corporately, in corporate workplaces. But it was also noted within our table that the level of self-interest within current society, being humble generally in our society and community and the communities that we interact with, is not generally valued. And so you almost need to have good mental health to be humble and accept that being humble, you're going to go against the grain.
Yeah. It's often struck me that people who are humble would be good team players. Bosses tend to be on the lookout for good team players. But, yeah, I get what you're saying.
In our discussion, I said this. It strikes me that if you've got a person who is very, very good at something or has a great gift for something, great talent, whatever it might be, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in a community like this, if that person decides to be very humble and say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that, then everybody's missing out as a result.
Yes.
Because that person offers something to the whole group because of their gifts or talents.
Yeah, but I would say that's not humility.
Not necessarily humility, but I mean, if you're that person and you feel as though you're putting yourself in a big place, you know, look at me because I'm so good at this, then so instead you say, no, I won't do it. Everybody misses out.
Yeah.
When it comes to humility, I remember the story. I worked in Tier and we had organised a conference with Sir Ronald Wilson, the author of the Stolen Generations report. And he was the keynote speaker for the conference, and I was emceeing. And I stood up to introduce Sir Ronald after morning tea, and he wasn't there. I thought, where's Sir Ronald? And someone said, oh, he's in the kitchen doing the dishes. And, you know, I thought, to me, that he offered to the world his great gift and ability and everything that he had to offer, but the spirit in which he did it was of total humility.
I've struggled a little bit with the whole conversation because the psychologist or scientist in me wants to operationalise the terms. So just that sense of, well, what actually is humility? And when we talk about that, is that about humility? And when it's mental health, well, what's the context and that sort of thing? But that's just kind of the preamble to thinking about what Phil was saying about if people are missing out because you're too humble to share your skills. And no, I don't necessarily see that as humility, but it got me thinking about, so say there's a music concert and someone's a very, very skilled and talented performer. So one option for them is to be like, oh no, I'm not that good, I'm not going to perform. And I don't necessarily think that that's humility. I think that you can recognise that you have this skill and you're going to share that with others. But perhaps humility comes in recognising, yes, I have this skill and I'm going to share it. But you know what? You guys have skills as well and I'd really love to hear from you. So that's where humility really shows up for me, that sense of, yes, I have these things to offer. Now let me look around who else has things to offer and how can I encourage and support you in sharing that as well.
Okay, we're out of time. This verse, I think we'll probably do a whole exegetical session on it sometime. It's amazingly deep, this verse, but that bit about being a servant, the role of a servant is actually very privileged because you're not responsible for executive outcomes, KPIs, all that kind of stuff. You're not responsible for planning things. You just listen to what you're being told to do and you do it. It's a wonderful thing. A couple of things that I wanted to touch on, but we're not going to have time. That one, well, again, we could probably spend a whole session on. And just that last one, in Jesus' name. How do we become humble? We pray. Doing something in somebody else's name, in Jesus' name, isn't something you can stick on the end of a prayer and God will answer it, to guarantee that God will answer it. Doing something in somebody else's name means that you have their full authority to do it. You know that what you're doing is what they want you to do. So the medieval king would send out knights and they would go out in the king's name to do things because they knew that was what they wanted. So we can pray for stuff in Jesus' name if we know it's what Jesus wants us to have. And we know that Jesus wants us to be humble. So we can pray in Jesus' name that we will be more humble and that prayer will be answered. A note of warning, I've done this. It has not been a pleasant experience. When I was about 20, somebody said I was arrogant. It was probably my mum. But when I thought about it, I thought, okay. I do think I know everything. And maybe a bit of humility would be good. So I started praying. God would give me humility. The first thing that happened was two or three older men in my church community, people I really looked up to, took me to one side and had a word. And that was just the beginning of realizing that I'm not that special. Anyway, but you can pray in Jesus' name that God will give you more humility and it will happen and it will be good. Right, I'm done.